You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show. Google any information on dental partnerships, you're going to find some data. Here's one. More than 20% of today's new dentists will enter practice ownership as partners, electing to become part of a group practice instead of solo practice. Unfortunately, 50% of planned partnerships never occur. Did you know that? And approximately 50% of those that do occur fail to last. Everybody's got data on this. I do know creating a partnership is difficult. And if you get it right, it's amazing. So we went on a search. Who does it well? And I brought on some amazing guests. I've had them on before, Dr. Jen Durst and Dr. Brett Levin. They have over 400 team members and over 30 practices. So how do you do that? And they said, we stick to four things. These are the four elements of a great partnership. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the GM here. I get to invite the coolest people on the planet, people that are part of this incredible community in dentistry, dear friends of mine, and get to ask them difficult questions like, how the heck do you create a healthy partnership? You know, there's a lot of statistics out there where people say partnerships don't work. And partnerships, if they're not on the same page, they can be one of the worst decisions you ever make. And our goal with this podcast is to add some perspective from people that are doing it to give you some help to help create a better practice in your life. And I'm inviting back two of the regular, you guys are like regular guests now, dear friends of mine, Dr. Brett Levin and Dr. Jen Durst, who have created something crazy special in Colorado. And I'm going to have them share. But thank you guys for being back. I really appreciate this.
Happy to do it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. We're going to create show after show after show because I don't even know how you guys have done what you've done. And if you listen to the previous podcast, I mean, the numbers are probably changing. You guys have it started with one practice. Then you went to a second practice. Then you went to a third practice. How many practices do you have now? I don't even know. Under the...
We are crossing the 30 threshold.
Okay. So you guys now lead 30 practices as part of your company. How many team members? 400 plus?
Something like that.
Around there. Yeah.
Now that's not what today's podcast is about. That's for the previous podcast. And we'll ask them questions about what they're doing. But what they've created is a very healthy situation. And so the question today is, how the heck have you guys kept this partnership? Now, there's a third partner in this. So I'd love for you guys to talk about the story. You guys have been together for 14 years. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell us the story. Like, how in the world, where do I even start? Well, let's talk about the why first. Why is it so important to have a healthy partnership? I want to hear from both of you.
Well, I think the opposite of that could be complete torture, right? So I think having a healthy partnership exponentially increases your happiness at work. like enjoying the partnership that you have and like, and the fun that you get to have makes work more fun.
Yeah. Brett.
Well, I think part of a healthy partnership is not always agreeing, but when you disagree, how you work through that with intent and with caring, so that you can, you know, really get to the right outcome that you both want.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that because we're going to go right there. So you guys, and we outlined this before we hit the go button because we could come up with 92 things. But the first thing you guys mentioned was we're aligned on vision. Now, people say that. I want you to comment on why that's so important. What is it? What does that mean to you guys? And help us understand that.
So I think, and I'll kind of use a outtake from what you and I were talking, or we were talking about earlier, is that like, you don't always have to agree, but you have to figure out how to be aligned. And if you don't both agree on where you want the outcome to go, it doesn't matter how aligned you're going to be, you'll never get there. And you don't need that many team members coming to Jen to get one answer and come to me to get a different answer. We need to be able to give the same answer, regardless of how we feel about it, but we will vet that ahead of time and then be able to support one another and the team member in how we give that answer and how we provide them support to get over whatever challenge they're going through.
Yeah, and that takes practice. Now you guys, let me just go there too. You guys argue. Like, do you ever disagree and get, like, have you ever shouted at each other or no?
We have had two really big arguments.
Okay.
The other arguments maybe weren't as big.
All right. But you know when it's happening. So there are things even now you guys don't agree on, right?
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Totally.
Every day.
Every day. How do you, Jen, give us some perspective. So I'm totally picking up what you're putting down, Brett. The force is strong with you. Like this whole agreement and alignment thing. How do you do that?
Okay. Well, I win them. So this is what makes it work. No, just kidding.
Okay. True. Okay. True. Like, and I would love to hear more in that perspective because both of you bring different value or different perspectives to the practice. So Jen, give us your perspective on it.
As far as what perspective on the
vision on alignment. Like, what are your thoughts? Like, how do you keep that? How do you guys stay aligned as a partnership?
Well, I mean, I think we always are coming back to like the vision, either clinically, like, our clinical philosophy or a cultural vision. And that is what is in this relationship with us, right? So that helps us in navigating any of those disagreements. It's probably no different than somebody who may, like, a marriage that has a religion that's part of it, and they use that as their guideline. That,
yeah.
You know, that's a random example. But like for us, we know where we're going. And so we can also disagree agreeably, I would say. Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like the intent, like as a partnership, the intent of the feedback that you're going to give your partner.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't have to be a business partner, it could be any type of relationship, right? Are you giving it because you care, or are you giving it to kind of like zing them and kind of hurt them, right? And
yeah, or you just want to win.
You just want to win in that way. And so
sometimes people just want to win. That's not.
We can be in a meeting, right? And we may have an objective that we want to achieve. And I can hear Jen talking or saying something. And sometimes I'll have to try to cut her off. Doesn't usually work. But after that conversation or after that meeting, I can say, hey, you know, I think you missed the point on this and this and this. And this is why I think that.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm doing it because I want to be right. I want us to get to the right outcome. And if you can do that in a caring way, then I think that and be open to hearing that. Because there's some people you can say that and they're like, I don't care what you said. This is what we're doing. Right.
Yeah.
Or you can reflect on it and say, oh, that makes sense. Right.
Yeah. I think for us, like conversations or vision or goals. Like, it's no different for us than if we were coaching each other on something clinical. Like, if I'm going to go and take a look at your prep and say, hey, I think there's a spot here that you might want to round out a little bit to keep you out of trouble. It's not weighted differently for us. We're like, oh yeah, it's very objective. We're like, yeah, that's not emotional. It's like for the good of the cause.
Yeah. And when you guys started with a 2-person partnership, you added a third. Does complexity grow when you add a third?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
How so?
I mean, it just, when you're trying to work through anything, if you, the more you grow, the more complex it gets, no matter what, because then there's more opinions, there's more emotions. And then as you add more and more people, some people are in different journeys and what they've gone through. So when we started working together, we were in coaching immediately. We're like, let's work on this. Let's start figuring out. We were reading the same books and navigating how we would properly communicate. And then you add in more and more people who might not be at that same place in their journey. So you're bringing them up as well as navigating maybe conflict. What's that?
I think, you know, obviously the more people you have, the more you're going to be challenged on staying true to your vision. And you have to determine where, not you're going to sacrifice, but like, where are you going to be like, I got 99% of the way there. I'm not going to get 100% of the way there. Or this person is probably good, but they're only good for 80% of what I need. Is that good enough for me? Is it good enough for you? Or do we have a role that suits them that can we shift them to a different role that will allow them to do 90 or 95% of it? And then you have to agree on, you know what, this person isn't cutting it. How do we figure out a way to, you know, be nice and move on from that person? And that could be a doctor. It could be a hygienist. It could be anybody that is helping manage the vision of our company.
Yeah, I love it. If you guys were listening to the previous podcast, and again, that's not what today, you guys created a culture playbook. I love it so much that I'm going to do the same. It's like, these are documents that we live by, decisions that we live by. I think everybody's got to have rules. In an environment, you got to have rules to stick by, and because you can know what other people expect. And I want to go back to what you guys said, the disagreement part. So John Coyce, who you guys are very familiar with, you train with him quite a bit, you know him very well. He said on his last podcast on here, he's like, I always tell people at the center, it's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to be disagreeable. And that's such good wisdom, because we can enjoy the conflict, but when you're just being disagreeable, just because you do have to win or be right, it's not helpful for anybody. And I do want to ask you about alignment time. Do you guys schedule regular alignment time? Like, I always want to know how. Like, how do you do it? Do you have regular meetings as a leadership team before you go to the rest of the team? How do you stay aligned?
When we were practicing together, we absolutely did that.
Yeah.
And every day we did it as well. So every day we were together, we would bring our office manager into our practice. For, you know, at the end of our team huddle, there was 5 minutes where we could all be in the same room together while our, you know, our assistants were checking our patients in and bringing them back and seating them. We got a quick little mini huddle. And then we also did that at the end of the day. She would want under back into our office around 4:45, knowing that we would start to trickle in at some point, and then we would like post-day huddle. So we had daily alignment, but then we also would have, you know, monthly, like annual, we'd have an annual goal setting situation. And, you know, so we were on a regular cadence of that. And then we also, if something comes up, we are on the phone immediately. I mean, I would say, you know, that there's times where, you know, even still now, like now we have more people in our leadership team and our partnership, which meets every Wednesday. But, you know, like, I think my husband has picked up the phone and talked to Brett in the past and be like, I know you guys got to chat
about
something.
Let me have Jen here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I think you have to be consistent about it, because you can get so busy doing all these other little tasks that you can and take for granted the relationship you have, that you can forget to do that. And I think doing it sometimes, like the daily ones are great. The weekly ones within our executive team are great. But then we try to connect outside of the office, right? Because I think it's great to have a different perspective when you're not being like bombarded by, you know, 20 other people coming into your office asking you every question in the book, right? And then, as you know, like in the dental office, like they don't care what you're doing, right? They're like, we're going to ask you this and we're going to ask you, and you never get the thought out. So it's finding different places and different times so that you can be deliberate about that connection and reconnection.
Might have been at Costco this Sunday with our two carts cruising around. True story.
That is a true story.
Oh my gosh.
From a dental meeting, and we were like, I got to go to Costco. You got to go to Costco. Let's get some stuff done.
She gave me a ride back to the house, and she's like, going to Costco. And you know Costco, right? You can't, like, she's like, I needed bread and
fish and water.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have a new blender and a rug and a whole fireplace.
Oh my gosh. I can't stay focused. My heart rate goes up significantly. I tell my family, everybody cool it. We're coming here for a couple things. And then immediately inside I go, you know, yeah. And so what kind of blender did you get? I got to get one. Like, is it like a Vitamix type of thing? Like, never mind.
And peanut butter and salsa and ice cream. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So you do have to be like, now, and we also, go ahead.
The last thing I say is like our carts. So my cart, very organized cart, got little boxes in the top, and Jen's, you got stuff falling out of the, on the side, she's hitting the displays, right? We still got out of there, but yeah. Like, but we were both like, this is what we need, right? Different mentality in doing it, but we got there.
Yeah, I mean,
and correct me if I'm wrong, you're not trying to organize her cart, telling her
heart.
How frustrated you are about like how her cart is and all that kind of stuff.
Never move my sticky notes on my desk.
Never.
But it would be excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll show you this. So my team gave me this. It's Pigpen from the Peanuts, because this is what I do. I just leave a mess wherever I go. So it's okay if you know who you are. It's all great. I got to put it right back up on the wall.
Yep.
Embrace it. So that's number one. You also mentioned a second component of your partnership is communication. Now that's a big topic. Like give us some perspective. When you say communication, what do you mean by the two of you or even the third partner?
I mean, I think when you're practicing communication on a regular cadence, we over-communicate probably between the two of us. We overthink it. Well, he overthinks everything. And then I have to overthink it too, because he's overthinking. I got to join him. We would communicate on anything like, hey, this happened today. This patient is here. Like, so you're going through this process of constantly communicating, that there's also the part where, like, you know, small things that sometimes people might say small, like, hey, I want you to know what happened here impacted, you know, my patient's situation over here, or this happened over here, this happened here. And we could give that, and you have all these like little small conversations about maybe small conflicts, but they give you that foundational support system, so that when you have like, you have a good outcome from, and you have a positive feedback from it, and then you can have the bigger ones later. So you don't let the little shit really just go. We talk about it. Like, it's because all the shit becomes shit, and it makes us better for it. We have positive feedback or positive reinforcement from our little shit conversations to make the big shit conversations are easier. I don't know. Yeah. Does that make sense? Do you need to clean that up?
That's hard to clean up.
No pun intended, but like, yeah.
You got to have the explicit warning on this episode.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Just go there.
On my bracelet.
Yeah, it's good.
Just go there.
I think there's two dynamics of communication for us. I think there's communication between each other. And then we communicate differently to other team members. And we've done enough training that sometimes I'll be like, I think you're going to communicate this idea better to X or Y. Whereas in other times they're like, no, you're going to lead this conversation because they're going to hear you better.
1,000%.
And so it's being comfortable with ourselves to know where our strengths and weaknesses are. And we've communicated how that is. She's right. I can overthink things that are not even relevant. And Jen has to be like, stop it. Just make this decision, because it doesn't matter whatever the decision is. Like, we got to keep pushing that way.
And then I'll over-ramble, and then he'll consolidate it.
Right. And then I think the communication between ourselves is just that. It's like, you know, hey, this hurt my feelings. Maybe you didn't mean to say it this way, but this is how it made me feel. And that gets into being vulnerable and all of those things. Mm-hmm. But we meet each other where we need to be. And there are times we need to communicate very strongly with each other. And then there are other times we have to be the opposite of that. And it's kind of knowing where we need to be. And it's even verbalizing it. Hey, I need this from you today. Mm-hmm. I know you want to be X, but I need Y from you today. Can you do that for me?
Yeah. Give us some perspective on a typical day. Like, how are you guys communicating via text? How many times? Is it in person? Because you've got a lot going on right now. I mean, do you get a lot of texts from her? Do you like, or does it go the other way? I'm just so curious, like, how much you guys actually communicate in a day.
You know, I don't think I'd want to take a screenshot of our texts.
No.
But it's not like it's not a huge vomit, like, of like, here's a whole bunch of stuff.
Text message, you have to keep concise.
Right.
Nothing big should ever be in text message, ever. Because one, to me, that is a resource that's supposed to be for short, quick things. Like, hey, did you book our flights to Austin? Yep, got it. Boom. That's what text message should be. Any text message more than like four lines. Well, one, I get bored after four lines, and I've moved on, and I can't read that much. So I think he knows that. So he'll pick up the phone and call, and knowing what your cadence is of communication with each other, what works.
I think we miss working with each other in the same office on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Some of your listeners may not know, Jen isn't practicing anymore, more because of a physical issue with her back. And thank goodness we started Aspire, because we work together just as much, just not in the presence of each other all the time. But whenever she comes into our home office, kind of the OG office, it's so fun, right? And it's fun for the team, and it's fun for the patients, because there is you've experienced it. There's a banter and a comfort and a familiarity of respect, right? And just like wanting to do good, that is kind of, well, sounds a little dramatic, infectious in that way. And everybody sees it when we're together. So I miss those moments with Jen, right? But we've also grown up, right? So we have to take on bigger problems, and we can't do that together all the time. So it's divide and conquer. It's you're taking this, I'm taking this, and let's reconvene in a day or two, you know, or whatever. And like, how did that go for you? Do you need me to follow up for you? Do you need me to reinforce this for you? Like, how do we best suit each, you know, support each other to get to the best end result?
Yeah, I love that. And along with communication comes number three, which is the respect piece of it. And that's also something you have to define, because people say it all the time. Oh, I respect. But what does that really mean as a cornerstone in your relationship, in the partnership?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I don't know that I've been like.
Yeah, but define. Well, let's start here. Define respect. Like, what does that really even mean? Because I have my idea of it, but let's go there first. What's respect mean?
It's like I want to go look up what the dictionary.
You know,
you can't. Yeah.
Kind of phone a friend, but respect for me is obviously the word character, right? And intent, but it's seeing the person on their worst day when they don't have their A game or the 100%. And there's fighting and struggling to do just as good as when everything is moving along. And I mean, that's how I look at Jen, right? I mean, there was a period where Jen could almost not hold. I mean, her body was failing her, and she was trying really hard to support whatever we needed to do. And I respect her for that, because I see other people that, you know, have a lot less issues, and they can't show up in the way that she showed up. So I don't know if that's a great, that's not a great example, but like, or definition.
I love it.
But it's, you know, like we would be, if we were like in a street fight, right? And then like, you know, the movie in a pan 360, like we'd be the ones with our backs to each other. And then like, we've, you know, kung fu to everybody. And then we turn around and we're like about ready to like, you know, do that. And like, ah, you're good. And then we'd like, yeah, you know, that's how I would.
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Mm-hmm. And Jen, how do you see the street fight with the, well, like define respect in a partnership for you. What's that mean to you?
I think it's earned. I don't think it's given. So I would say like when we met, we like had this like light respect, but we always showed up for each other, for our patients, for our team. And I think that is just a big part of why we respect each other so tremendously. And I think it's also when you do what you say you're going to do, when that's expected, you earn respect. So, and I think doing your best, like no matter, like your best can be 80, your best can be 100. I, you know, my best when I was really having a hard time walking was probably lower than what it would have been normally, because I couldn't get anywhere very quickly. But it was still like,
showing up. Yeah. You know, I mean kind of off on a tangent, but like as Jen's physical kind of capability went, like she had prepped all, she's an amazing cosmetic dentist, right? Everybody knows that. And she had done all this work. There was a point where she couldn't seed it, and I seeded all of her work, and I had a whole newfound respect, because there's one thing to look at something on an x-ray, but when you go seat all these amazing veneers and they just drop in and they look good and the occlusion's good, and like that is, you know, we can all show that on a photo or make it appear that way on a photo. I got to see the reality of it in that way. That's a different level of respect, just on the you know, dental spectrum of how we try to deliver treatment. So, you know, that it gained another thing for me. It's also, if something wasn't good, right, she could come to me and say, hey, I saw this, I want you to take a look at it, you know, and she didn't have to question whether I was going to be like, I got to call the patient and bring them back to redo a filling or redo a crown or, you know, let's like, but it was not a judgmental, I mean, that's not judgment. That's a great way to, you know.
Yeah. I love that. What you're talking about, people don't really, they don't share enough about that. You know, you get what you give. I think respect for me, and this, I've learned a couple things the hard way, is like, it's about behavior. You know, ultimately we're trying to create a culture of behavior. And even in the worst times, like I got to train myself, not instinct. It's like, what would my values say in this moment? Like how I'm going to respond. And then I can address this privately with somebody else. If it's not, you know, I almost feel like I'm an airline pilot, just trying to keep everybody calm. Even if we go through turbulence and go, hey, we're going to be okay. And what people do, like you said, both of you, is like, they start to respect, you know, they start to trust in the organization. They know how you become somewhat predictable, if not a lot predictable. And I think the signature of mediocrity is chronic inconsistency, where you're just reacting all the time and people don't know what to expect from you. And you might disagree as you're listening to this, going, well, that's boring. No, it's not. It's very, very healthy when your team members, your spouse, your kids can go, I already know how he's going to respond, even in the worst moments, and everybody's going to be okay. He's not going to freaking lose his mind, you know, or whatever. So it's like a, you know, it's one of those things you just have to work on every day. It's like, okay, not what I wanted to.
Find it, but I feel like we've defined how we achieved it
for each other.
Yeah.
Because
I was lucky. I look right in that same story. I was so lucky that Brett could help me like pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
So
now that kind of leads. Oh, wait,
no, you go ahead.
That kind of leads into number four, because, you know, the fourth element, you said teamwork, because you already had a foundation of this prior to the physical challenges you had So to talk about that, like when you both were at 100% of your health, you had already cultivated this thing called teamwork and team. So explain that again, because it's a big concept.
I think, well, we looked at it ourselves like a BOGO for our patients.
So what's a BOGO? I don't know what's a BOGO.
Buy one, get one. They have those BOGO sales. Buy one, get
oh,
one.
Okay.
So, you know, it might have started with, you know, when we started working together, like, and I moved from Arizona, like Brett was busy and I was like hanging out, and it was like, well, whatever I can do to support you, because it mean if I can numb your patient and whatever, I'll do something. I'll numb your patient or whatever. Can I seat your crown? And it, you know, he reciprocated it. So like right away, he was like, okay, I got this. Like, now you're seating my crown, but your patient showed up. And so I'm going to go in and get your patient started. And we really functioned symbiotically, even though we had our own schedules and our own columns, which you have to do to keep your day running smoothly. We also had an eye on each other. Like we had each other's back, even while we were doing our own thing. It was like, okay, I know that you're like elbow deep in this, or you've got a patient who's got a lot of questions in their hygiene check and it's going over. Like, what can I do to keep you moving along in your schedule? Because maybe if I come in and just get your patient numb, or again, like, now you're behind because you're getting the patient numb. So now you're going to seat the crown. Like, what we would do was just take care of it for each other. And we knew when patients also would prefer one or the other, we would still be able to do their, like, when you start to build that, if I'm out of town for some reason, I'm taking a CE course and Brett's there, he's talking to the patient who he knows is my like good friend, or he's like, yeah, I think you should get a crown on this. I'm going to support this and get it back in your schedule. So we did that too. There was one time I did treatment plan, like a bunch of veneers on a patient of his, knowing they really wanted to see him. And he was like, you did what? I did not want to do that one. So whoops. But it's, you know, we
challenged each other. This is kind of off topic of the question, but we challenged each other to be better. Right.
Yeah.
And that's how I hear her saying that. Like, she's like, you can do this, whether you think you can or not. I'm going to challenge you because I know you can do it. And I knew she believed in me that I could do it. I think some of that is a metaphor for how we've tried to grow Aspire, right? Because you got to be a little crazy in hindsight to start a company.
You don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And I think that part of teamwork, it still perpetuates. So we crafted that very well, right, at our office.
And I think our teams, like our dental assistants, would see us functioning that way.
Yeah.
And then our hygiene, like, so we led that by example as well.
But I would say, in one thing we maybe didn't do right when we first started Aspire, we probably didn't communicate enough. And there's a fine line here, right? Because you can't just tell everybody everything. But it was a big shift, thinking, you know, a big mental shift for a lot of team members. And 5 years ago, the way people looked at starting a DSO, right, even though we call ourselves like a private practice model, wasn't favorable. And we learned how to communicate better, right, so that you can maintain the teamwork of the practice, because that part kind of hit some road bumps a little bit. And again, I'm getting off topic here, in that way. But back to the teamwork question, like, I think it's no different as we've scaled. We've had to find other people that we believe in, right? So now our circle of trust with our executive team, right, and much more of that. I mean, we have amazing people who work in this company, like, I mean, assistants, hygienists, the front, like, you name it, right? I love that we've created an opportunity for people in dentistry that, you know, maybe they thought they couldn't be anything more than just run an office, and now they can be
a regional,
or they were just going to be a hygienist, and now they're helping train other hygiene. I mean, you could go on and on, but like, We have a bigger like-minded team that works together, that has the same support and trust in each other, so that when we bring an office on or bring a new doctor on, that they're struggling in whatever way. We want to go back to the teamwork and the alignment and try to communicate all of that so that people are less concerned about whatever the change is going to be.
Yeah. I think what you guys have created is remarkable, and I can speak firsthand about it because I know you guys very well. And I think if you're listening to this podcast at all, the importance of leadership is so critical, whether it be one doctor, two doctors, three, whatever. The bottleneck in any bottle is never in the middle. It's always at the top, you know, and you hear all these analogies. I'll get all in, you know, the fish always stinks from the head down. People are always trying to fix the organization. You know, it's not, it's the people, it's the location. It's like, no, it's the leadership. Because when you get healthy up here, it creates other healthy that creates other healthy that creates other healthy. And it's quite remarkable. I love it. Any last thoughts you guys have on what makes a great partnership?
I think it would be hard to be partners with somebody, like really good partners with somebody, if they weren't one of your friends, or for us, best friends. I mean, Brett officiated my wedding. Like, there's a strong, strong friendship here that is, you know, it's pretty tough to break. So I don't know how you could be like business partners with somebody, but then also not be friends with them.
Yeah, true. Brett, what are your final thoughts?
I mean, I think you respect your good friends, right? You support your good friends, and you have their best interests at heart. And so I think that, I mean, I think Jen said it really well, like creating a partnership and being successful in that, you're going to have hard days. You have to accept that. It's really how you support each other in the hard moments that makes you savor and enjoy the good moments that much more. And, you know, we had an all company meeting back in, you know, in October, brought everybody in, right? And there's a moment where I'm like standing there looking around and I'm like, how did we, like, this was an idea that we believed in and all these other people believe in it now, right? And we couldn't have done it on our own. We needed each other to do it.
We would never have built the practice we built without each other.
No.
Like, as two single, like, we were like 1 + 1 = 10, not 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
And I think we were also just really equally driven and passionate about it too. We were, it's not like one of us was showing up and the other one was like, yeah, I'm done every day at 4 and I don't do anything after 4 o'clock. It was like, all right, you're still here at 4, or you're still here and something's going on. I'm here with you. Like, we're in this together always. I don't know. I think that's a big part of it. Because you do hear of these partnerships where, like, it's really heavily weighted on one person doing all of the heavy lifting. We were able to divide, like, Brett's really good at, like, figuring out our books. He could, like, look at the ledger for the day and be like, oh, that was, you know, this was supposed to be on you and this was supposed to be on me. I don't have that capacity, but I was more like on the creative side of like, here's how we should market the place. We knew each had those different talents.
We were able to leverage it.
Fully trusted in each other because we were so aligned that, like, I know you're going to kick butt there. The trust and respect is so intertwined, along with the friendship and the grit and the hustle. So it's kind of that's your recipe. There you go. Make it.
I love it. I love it. And I know for a fact you guys are only at the beginning of what you've started, you know, so it's going to be fun. And I'm just telling you guys, it's always fun to learn from great people. You know, I know this about you guys. You're great human beings. You do unbelievable work. It's fun to watch you be creative. I know that people are listening to this going to want to know more about what you guys do. And I'm going to encourage you to check it out. If I want to find out more about what you guys do, where do I even go? What do I do?
Well, certainly you can look up, you know, aspiredental.com. And
take a look at our website.
Take a look at our website. Our
social media on Instagram and LinkedIn. They're a little different. Like the LinkedIn might talk about some of the bigger business side of it. The Instagram shows a lot of our team and our culture and the goofiness that happens behind scenes.
But every picture like you would see on our website is a patient that either myself or Jen or any of the doctors in Aspire have done. We don't put any stock photo on it. And you can still go to certain websites and see the same stock photos and the same things like that. And, you know, we feel very passionate and strong about that. And I think to Jen's credit there, like she's inspired other younger dentists who didn't know how to do some of these things to, you know, have a mentor behind them, right? Who can help oversee and look and guide them on doing some of these cases. So I think we're proud of that part also in terms of what Aspire, you know, brings for any doctor if they want it, right? You got to want it. You don't want to, you know, and so it's not for everyone, but the ones who want it tend to seem to leverage it and really enjoy it.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you guys being on here, sharing your thoughts, wisdom, and even the challenges behind the scene. So we're going to have you back again and again and again. So thank you guys very much. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else, but thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. Hey, if you enjoyed today, do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your friends, check out what Brett and Jen are up to. Heck, I want to go see and find out what they're up to. And we're going to keep bringing it this year. I don't know how the podcast is growing. I don't even know why. It's nuts. All I can say is thank you guys. And you keep showing up, we'll keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.